There you are.
Okay, folks, there we go.
Oh, finally.
What
the heck was that?
Strange goings on.
I'm going to make sure that we can hear you.
Yep.
Yeah, we can. Okay, good. I'll silence this now.
I see my audio is working there. All right.
Yeah.
Well, we just burned through 17 minutes of our live stream. I apologize profusely, and we will move right on with Precursor, the redaction. Kathleen has quite a bit prepared for this evening, and I'm not going to belabor the point, except I'm going to try to keep up with some of the notes that I have to add, and I have a few definitions and things, so go ahead, and I'm just opening up my email to get to my notes so that we can move right along here, folks. But, yeah. So, why don't you let people know about your most recent conversations and goings-on?
Well, first, positive news, and that is that Precursor will be back up. I don't know if we'll get it for Monday, but probably for Tuesday. Eddie and Doug is going to do some voiceovers. We're basically keeping the content and flow the same. We are making some changes and redactions, obviously, based upon our correspondence with the office of Rick Wiles from True News and from the office of Chuck Baldwin. Many of you have come to us specifically about Chuck Baldwin, about what a disappointment it was. And I have to say personally, I think our last words on our live stream together was that we really hope that that was not the case. In my conversation with his secretary, it was very pleasant. It was very nice when we spoke. And we didn't speak for just a couple of minutes. We were probably on the phone for at least 20 minutes, 15, 20 minutes. Talking and actually laughing with one another. And then when we were talking in the course of our conversation and sharing about our magazine and specifically the current situation that we find ourselves in, I cited some things that Rick had said from, different things that I have read and heard online and compared them with what we were saying, and she went on to talk about how Chuck felt that the vaccine was a mark of the beast. And I said, well, and I didn't want to argue with her because I thought, well, maybe I'm not hearing it right, and I'll let her talk a little more and she'll expound on that. But she didn't, so I did, and then she had to go. So I had said to her, well, we are very clear in that we think that this is the mark of the beast. And she said, I'll give your information to Chuck and I'll get back to you.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up talking with you about it, and this wasn't a matter of just being, as Dwight and Tony said, it's not just the Article A and the Article V, and it's not just semantics in this case. There is a very, very big difference between A and the, a mark and the mark. And so I emailed her back, and then I called and left a message asking for further clarification on that, that's when we got the nasty email, which was, I don't think that we provoked it. I gave her no reason whatsoever. I was not rude or pushy or anything like that. So for her to come back with that statement on behalf of Chuck Baldwin was completely uncalled for. When you look at the spirit in which we promoted both him and Rick Wiles on our Precursor video, it was in the affirming and quite relieved to see two well-known individuals, because we're not well-known, but two well-known individuals who have large audiences who we are trying to reach, those professed Christians in the Valley of Decision, to help them make the choice for God in choosing whether to take this, or to not to take this,
right,
is what I mean, whether or not to take this. I mean not to take this.
So we were enlisting them as our allies.
And we put them in a very positive light,
yep.
And we wanted to do that. And we were, in a sense, applauding them by giving them that platform.
We weren't trying to trip them up with their own words.
And so for Rick to do his turnaround, and we have his words that he said, And that, but for Chuck to turn around and threaten us with a copyright, and you know what? His material's out on BitChute. It's online for everybody to see on his website.
Yeah.
But to threaten us with a copyright because we took, what, 10 to 12 seconds of a famous line that, you know, it's not even famous, but it had to do with, you know, our forced COVID vaccines, the mark of the beast. What is the exact way that it says? I have to look at it. Our forced COVID-19 vaccinations different from the mark of the beast. They are not. So that we found, you know, through the internet, but that was...
There are lots of people posting different segments, not just this one, of many of his sermons all over the internet. And we posted at the beginning of the precursor video that this is presented under fair use.
It is.
This is for educational purposes. And again, we were not trying to slander or to paint in a negative picture either of these well-known gentlemen. So it really took us as a shock, as an affront, to be threatened with a lawsuit for a copyright infringement.
Right. And you know, it's funny. Today, and I want to highlight this because I'm not trying to bury Chuck Baldwin, so to speak.
No.
But I am looking for the truth.
Yeah.
And when I went back to look at who the man is, as a man, I looked at 2004 when he was elected as the vice presidential candidate for a new party that they allowed in, Constitutionalist Party, I think it was called.
Mm-hmm.
Then in 2008, he was elected the presidential candidate for that. We actually have a photo of him at the podium with them holding up the, you know, Baldwin name, and True News is the one who's covering it, ironically enough.
True News is
True News, Rick Wiles.
True News, Rick Wiles, their logo, bottom right corner of the photograph from Chuck Baldwin's presidential campaign speech.
So when I saw that online, I went, wait a minute, okay. Here is a man who, you know, from all outward appearances, is saying the right words. He's got a patriotic spirit. Somebody sent me the link to his sermon that was entitled Marks of the Beast. It was from August of 2020, where he goes and he talks about the various marks of the beast system.
In plural.
In plural. He talked about things such as blasphemy, great authority, world wonderment, organizations such as the United Nations, Federal Reserve, WHO, CDC. He talked about war with the saints and the mark that that will allow people to buy and sell and participate. All of these, he was saying, are marks of the beast system.
Components of the mark of the beast system. We're going to be very deliberate, like we often do, folks, just to make this very clear, breaking it down, not because we're being condescending, but just so that this is carefully examined and everybody gets a chance to listen very carefully.
He was talking about all of these, the religious systems mixing with the political systems to come up with this current beast system that we find ourselves in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this has been happening since the beginning of time, you know, religious and political mixing together. However, he, even in this video, he was still promoting how he stands behind our government. That struck something in me, because our government is an illusion. It is nothing like what it's supposed to be. He goes back and forth from his constitutionalist platform that's embedded in him. Some may call it patriotism. But he still keeps reciting things like the Founding Fathers. The Founding Fathers that signed our Constitution were, for the most part, Freemasons.
Yep. They were Freemasons, and Freemasonry is a subset of Kabbalism.
He also goes on to talk about in the Civil War how the people were talking about, you know, their war cry or their mantra at that time, if you will, is that there is no king in the United States except Jesus Christ is king. Yet in 2004, in 2008, this man was aspiring to be the president of the United States. Now, is he naive enough to think that when he comes into power as the president of the United States, if it panned out the way he wanted, that he was going to change the entire world and change the entire United States? No. And yet he aspired to be the president. Anybody that aspires to go into this political system knows that they're entering the lion's den. Yeah. The United States is not run by the figurehead who is in the White House. Biden and his administration proves that right now. And for the last few, no, I wouldn't even say few, probably since the beginning, presidents are not elected. As much as they want to keep up that illusion that the people have a say in it, they don't. Presidents are chosen. They will present two, maybe three different individuals and keep up the illusion that there is freedom, that there is choice. They've done that very well. They've kept that propped up pretty much as well as the economy.
So the focus is upon why would a pastor choose to become part of the political system rather than remaining apart from it?
That is working in conjunction with the religious systems, which he would have been a part, I think, of that evangelical community. Now,
he was at that time.
Yes, yes. And he talks about his affiliations and flying on planes with Ronald Reagan and others. I think it was Ronald Reagan that he said. Maybe that was before his time. Anyway, he talks about presidents. And I went on to, I was just Googling his name. All of his works, his sermons, his things, you know, first of all, he's still on YouTube, which is a big indicator of how he's being propped up. His sermons and all of the things that he talks about are on IMDb. And IMDb, for those of you who...
Internet Movie Database.
That's Internet Movie Database, yes. And then it has him starring in all sorts of things. He is actually in a video called Camp FEMA, a documentary which stars Alex Jones and himself and then others that I don't know. I'm sorry?
And
what?
Isn't Rick Wiles part of that documentary?
No, he actually appears on Rick Wiles' program, True News.
That's what it was.
And I'll post these links in band, where he is speaking about rejecting Zionism and exalting King Jesus. That was back in 2019. He was on Rick's program, True News.
True News. Yep.
So his affiliations with Rick Wiles, True News, Alex Jones, having his marketing done through and posted on IMBD, which is for actors, actresses, movies, gaming, theater, you know, that whole thing. His affiliations leading up to an almost or a presidential candidate election.
Mm-hmm.
He is being managed by others, and the deception is being taken to another level now. We've talked about the 90-10. When I go back to his video series, which he calls How Are Forced Vaccinations Different from the Mark of the Beast? And then he stands there and says, they are not. First of all, they're not. It's an incorrect statement to say forced vaccinations. We are not yet, and I don't think that we will be, ever forced in the sense of being slammed to the ground and then jabbing you with the vaccine. That's against the laws that God has put in order with respect to Satan.
Yep.
He causeth. That's what it is. It never is force being used. It is he causeth. Cause means a person or thing that gives rise to an action, phenomenon, or condition. A principal aim or movement that because of a deep commitment, one is prepared to defend or advocate. That's what causeth mean.
And this is from the King James translation.
I don't have it
in my notes. So I'm just bolstering what you're saying here so that it's clear for everyone. Because the first thing that's going to come up is say, well, there are other translations that have other words other than causeth.
Right.
We are focusing on the King James. If others want to look at other words and other interpretations, that's fine. But understand, we always have to look at the translations and the use of other words and carefully define those other words because the meanings are very closely associated. A first take on a word may not necessarily be in keeping with the spirit of the context of that piece of scripture, that line of scripture. So it's important when we look at different translations, we also understand who influenced those translations. So we're focused on the King James. King James says, causeth.
So by saying causeth, it means that there is a choice involved. There is a consent to be given. That's what God is looking at.
Free will.
He wants to make sure, and it, for the most part, is weeding out, as we say, the wheat and the tares. And we're not saying that haphazardly. This is actually what is happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the people that he is associated with, Rick Wiles is associated with, Alex Jones is associated with, they are higher intel than your, you know, content providers on YouTube or BitChute or, you know, any of those platforms. They're at a higher level, and they have to hide their game a little bit better. And so they need to be more savvy with the words that they use.
And they start parsing words very carefully.
Yes, they do. And what is happening is they are framing things with the words that they choose, and then building a case of affirmation around it, if you will. So when he says our forced vaccinations, our forced COVID-19 vaccinations different from the mark of the beast, they are not. That's not even a correct statement, because it's not, they aren't forced.
Mm-hmm.
The beast system that's in play right now is causing. They're making mandates that would cause men to choose to take this.
Right.
The other thing that is happening is that he is causing the direction of his conversation and teachings to focus on different marks in the beast system. I would call them outworkings of the beast system, characteristics.
I would call them components.
Exactly, that too. And in this case, the semantics of the word mark do come into play,
mm-hmm.
because it means designate or referring to. But I do not see that clear delineation of the mark of the beast.
Mm-hmm.
The foundation that is set for all those other things. These things are already in play.
These things, these components that he's listing and saying, this is a mark of the beast. So there's one component.
Right.
And then the
blasphemy,
next component. Then
great
the next
authority.
Component. Right.
Yeah.
So the point here is that all of those components, you could properly put the label to each one of those or all of them as a group and call them precursors. Because they are precursors,
right,
to the mark of the beast, which is the vaccine. And the reason, there are many reasons, many components to the vaccine itself, but the primary defining component ingredient of the vaccines is the mechanism that permanently, from the very first inoculation begins to alter a person's DNA.
Right. And, you know, these vaccinations, once it is into the human body, then the person, by way of accepting it into their body, receives the rewards from the beast kingdom, the beast system, mm-hmm. by way of being granted a passport to go out and try and live life the way they did before.
Correct.
And buy and sell.
Yep. So what does Chuck say about the passport?
You cannot. He goes on to interchange. He says that you can take the COVID vaccine and the passport, and they are interchangeable. You can interchange them, and they mean the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
They don't, because one comes before and one comes after.
Right.
I don't see the emphasis being on the abomination that causes desolation, which is the most important thing in a human being living today's life and eternal destiny with God. There is nothing else that is any more important. Your car doesn't matter. Your children don't matter. Your house doesn't matter. Nothing matters, because you are now facing eternity and facing God himself with this decision. It's that serious.
Yeah.
And by taking this vaccine, it's not to equate it with a COVID passport, which is what I hear him doing. He speaks very freely and from the Bible and quotes things and lists things about aspects of the beast system. You have to have this, you have to have this, you have to have this. But I don't see him saying how this COVID vaccine is not a mark of the beast. It is the mark that changes everything. It changes the human being. It changes their name to something other. So they are accepting the name of the beast within them, which is their genetic code, DNA, RNA changes. So there's the name of the beast.
Right.
The number of the beast from the in silico design of this vaccine comes down to computer terminology of a binary code in ones and zeros. There's your number of the beast. Your image, because it was created in silico.
Yeah.
So it is the mark of the beast. And you know what? We could have had this conversation. We are not being argumentative. We could have had this conversation with him.
Yeah.
If he called us back or wanted to talk to us further. Instead, he sends his secretary to tell us a message that, and I'll quote it, because it was uncalled for. I mean, when I read, let me just read what it says. Let me go right here. When I read his secretary's reply from him, "Dear Mr. Anthony Patch, whether Dr. Baldwin believes that the COVID shot is a mark of the beast or the mark of the beast, there is a weightier matter that must be dealt with." In other words, that's not important. But what is important is that you know this. All of Dr. Baldwin's videos are copyrighted and may not be reproduced without prior written consent, which you did not obtain. The courts take copyright infringement very seriously, and the penalties can be severe. He has a son that's an attorney who he can just call up and say, "Hey, would you take care of this for me?" Therefore, Dr. Baldwin needs a written affirmation from you by Monday, tomorrow, October 25th, 2021, stating that you have removed Dr. Baldwin's video clip from your production. You affirm that you will not use any of Dr. Baldwin's copyrighted material in the future without obtaining his consent. Thank you for complying with the rest of this request in a timely manner. We wish you all the best as you proceed with your work. I have never read, and she says sincerely, I've never heard of anything any more insincere than that.
Right.
So this is something that I think it comes down to character. One of the things that I found amusing in his sermon from August of 2020 is that he goes on to talk about an aspect of the beast system that attacks other Christians. He said, if you are a Christian and you attack, this is verbatim from his his sermon, and you attack another Christian, he said, you are part of the beast system.
Well, Chuck Baldwin, you're part of the beast system. Because we never attacked him.
We didn't?
We never attacked.
No.
We asked for a conversation. We asked for a dialogue. We asked for an email exchange. We didn't get anything except threats in an email exchange.
There was also something from one of his people in the congregation that must listen here or was here and left, I don't know, but saying that we follow the Scofield Bible or rapture doctrines, and we absolutely do not.
Yeah, you can't point
not.
That finger at us.
No, no.
Let me finish
one more thing and then I'm done, because I've covered all of my notes here. I believe that he is allowed to speak as he does against Zionism on platforms such as Rick Wiles, True News, and other platforms. Because the Zionist, or not the Zionist, but those in Israel who control the evangelical churches here in the United States, something that he was very, very much involved in, and associations and affiliations would probably show that he still is, only it's a lot more covert.
Yeah.
They are allowing that because they want to see division within the Christian denominations.
Yeah.
You might want to say that, well, Kathleen and Anthony, you're not furthering anything by, you know, we are not looking for unity with the world. We do hope to have unity with the true Christians, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. I am looking at this that they are allowing him to say negative things against Israel and Zionism for this purpose of causing division and uprising. And when I say uprising, I don't mean, you know, pitchforks take to the road sort of thing, but definitely to cause division, which in the end ultimately comes down to God separating, you know, those who are his children from those who aren't. I just want people to be aware that they are taking cleverness to a whole new level in terms of using terminology, Christian terminology, that will really, really sound like they're right on. I mean, you and I put these two men in our video hoping and believing that what I thought Rick was taking a... He was turning right there on the spot, right there on the video. He was saying,
he,
you know, I didn't say
mind.
It before. And then he turned right back again.
Yeah.
And so
this stirs confusion amongst the Christians. This stirs confusion among the elect. So in Scripture, it talks about the great deception to the extent that even the elect could be deceived.
Yeah.
This is playing right into that deception.
This is one of those moments, sure.
And the caution that we're offering, and you know, people are listening to what you're saying and they're thinking, what's in this for me? You know, okay, you're airing dirty laundry. We've heard this before. We've got the video precursor. We know that you guys had this exchange with, you know, Chuck Baldwin's office, his secretary, and we know that these two men have changed their positions post publication of the video precursor. So we believe that they are making their about-face statements because of the release of our video precursor. What's in it for everyone who's listening is to understand what you just said. The depth of the deception, the cleverness of the deception, they're raising it to a higher level, you're saying. And this is exactly it. Again, it's the 90%, 10%. Now, with these two guys, I'm going to shift that a little bit and say, this is like 99%. When you listen to Chuck Baldwin especially, 99% of what he espouses sounds like he's quoting sound doctrine, sound interpretation, sound application of the doctrine of the scriptures. And I even thought, you also, you know, we thought this guy was, you know, above board, at least on the mark of the beast pronouncement that he made. And he made it very clear that he said it was the mark of the beast. Then he does an about face. So what's in it for all of us is this is a prime example of why discernment through the Holy Spirit is absolutely necessary. That's the starting point. The next is to be a very careful listener. When Scripture talks about being a good Berean, in the day, you know, we would think, oh, studying carefully, studying for the truth, studying so that you give a good witness. And we understand that. But also being a good Berean means being a good listener. Being a good student means being a good listener. And when you're listening, we've urged everyone to think critically. And the step that I want to define critical thinking is to think logically. Think about being in a debate. You have one side, you have the other. You're debating each other. You're using sound, logical argument to debate and then to find the flaw in the person you're debating, find a flaw in their logic. So all of this is what I'm urging everyone to try to apply when you listen to people today who are deceiving. Listen very carefully to their words and define their words if you have to. Okay, I know you got a lot of notes written down, so go ahead.
No, I just wanted to, I wanted to finish, but it is like being in a debate, only I'm not debating against you. I'm debating, I'm talking and agreeing with you. I wouldn't call it airing dirty laundry. I know it was a saying that you were using. I consider it exposing truth. Because when we were first talking about some of the things that I wanted to put into the precursor video, there was a red flag on the ground. Do you remember when I said to you, listen to this? I listened to a number of things from Chuck Baldwin. There was something that went off in my spirit that I went, yeah, I don't know about that. Listen to how emphatic he is about COVID-19 vaccine, equating it to the COVID passport and then to being interchangeable. You could put one word and use the other word, and they mean the exact same thing. And I said, no, that's not exactly right. But then we went on to listen to other things that seemed very affirming, and we let it go, and we put it in.
Yep.
And then, you know, we had this whole incident happen, and the other thing that caused me to, you know, to really begin to dig a little bit deeper was when I came up with Rick Wiles. Somebody informed us that I heard 3 days later after he shot that video, or filmed that video, that episode, that he changed his mind again. So I went right to his organization, spoke with his secretary, again, another very nice woman, and she was even, you know, she put in her email to me, I just will post his exact words. And then you see the turnaround. Everybody will see the turnaround in that.
Yeah.
So when I did that with him, I thought, you know what? I just want to confirm with Chuck Baldwin's office this one point. And it had to do with the COVID-19 vaccine and the passport. And after the conversation, following up to get further clarification on the A mark of the beast versus the mark statement. And that's when we got the, you know, the threatening, intimidation letter from them.
We are, as everyone here knows, we are functioning as reporters. We're not here on a witch hunt. We're not out to hang anybody. We're not here to discredit anybody. What we are doing is digging for the truth, which in the old days of journalism, good journalistic policy and procedure, you were always trying to seek the truth. You would cross-reference it. You would verify it. We would call it vetting today.
You get your sources. And
check your sources. And so when Kathleen is calling to reconfirm, That's what a good reporter does. To get it straight, on the record. Am I quoting you right? Am I quoting you correctly? Yes or no? Would you like to clarify? This is what we were asking for. Now, what's interesting is this, I'll call it a hiccup. This little hiccup in our video where we've presented two individuals with their own statements. As reporters, we looked at this, we verified it. Yeah, this is what these guys are saying. We understand what they're saying on camera. It's their own words. We understand English. So we posted it in good faith. Yet, you know, God uses this to really, I mean, when these guys are trying to be very clever, they're trying to really hide their positions. They're really obfuscating yes. who they really are in a very clever fashion. God says, no, 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 no. I laugh in derision at your plans. That's what it says in Scripture. And he says, no, gentlemen, I'm going to use your own words to reveal your true heart. And this is exactly what is occurring as we're sitting here right now talking about it.
Well, that's why I believe that this is actually good that this happened.
It is.
Because
absolutely.
It is the perfect example that God can use to show people that, you know, there are people that are seemingly elect out there that mm-hmm. are leaders in the Christian world.
Right.
And you and I, you know, we take the time to study the Word of God, to research, and but more so than anything else, important to spend time speaking and seeking Him.
Yeah.
Were it not for that time and that relationship,
mm-hmm.
when He says even the elect could be deceived, they wouldn't pick up, if you will, on the fact that, you know, there's something that's not right about this.
Right.
So it's the Holy Spirit that guides you and says, no, 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 no. Listen to what He's really saying. Listen to who He's affiliated with. Listen to what His aspirations still are.
Yes.
And every time the words leave Chuck Baldwin's mouth about how great our country is, I just go, you know what I mean? And how wonderful America is. I'm not the people of America. Well, the people of the whole world, the whole population of the world is changing right now. So you can't even base it on that anymore.
Right.
But to even have aspirations and still affirm that our nation is great when we know that it's not,
yeah.
you're lying then, and you're lying to yourself. It's a delusion. Our country is about to crash and burn,
yeah.
and as is the rest of the world. Don't tell me America's great and our founding fathers were great. Our founding fathers have gotten us into this position because of their secret societies and their, you know, their affiliations with those who are, you know, prominent in their ability.
And their banking system.
You know, and that's not being a tinfoil hat. I mean, follow the money. You can find it. It is the truth. It's not being a conspiracy theorist. I you know what? That's even a weak term. It's like, you know,
weak
just
argument.
Go away.
Yeah.
Because they don't want anyone thinking outside of the box. But the fact of the matter is, every time he opens his mouth to talk about how great America is and our founding fathers and the Constitution, the platform that he would still step onto if given the opportunity, says a great deal about him. That he himself mm-hmm. is deluded to think that America is still great and we can turn this around. Lock yourself in with the Dr. Carey Madeis and all the other people who are saying, we need to take back America. You're not going to take it back. It's too late.
Yep.
This is going the way the Bible said it would. This is going the way Jesus foretold it would. There's no stopping it. As children of God, when we meet against the various satanic people and agendas that come into our realm and our sphere of influence, yes, we do have the power to put up roadblocks and to affect change and to not let things go as smoothly. We're doing that right now.
Yeah.
as they would like. But this is foretold, and this is the time. It is the end times. It is the separating of the wheat and the tares. Pastors, preachers, teachers, I give you a very stern warning. The Spirit of God is not going to contend with you for much longer. There are those of you that we have tried to warn and reach out to through repentance and confession, and you're not listening. And it is not going to go well for you. It is not going to go well for you. When God says, choose this day whom you will serve, you are choosing to serve your handlers, those people in positions that are running the Zionist regime, the heads of the evangelical movements. You are the ones that are going to suffer greatly, not at the hands of your handlers and those who are in positions who've been paying for your planes and your big churches and your houses and all of your marketing to make you who you are. They're going to back away. They're not going to be able to help you when you come in to the judgment of a very angry and yet just God, because you chose the things of this world, the power, the money, the prestige, the promise of power, the promise of position. You've chosen that over serving to choose him. You may be able to feel You may be able to fool people, but you can't fool God, and you can't fool all of the people. So, one last warning before God enacts judgment upon you, and you see it very, very clearly, and at that point it'll be too late for you. Repent and turn, and then turn to your congregations and tell them that you are sorry for what you have done and how you have led them. I think it's very, very important. It's their last chance, where they're done for.
You know, we talk about the wheat and the tares. In the old days, but still today in some countries around the world, when they take wheat in a woven basket,
like a
shallow basket, and they sift and they throw it in the air to get rid of the chaff. I think of a screen, a metal screen, and you're taking soil and you're sifting the soil. And you have a certain size openings, so certain size material drops through and leaves the larger in your sieve, in your screen. What God is doing now is he is really reducing the size of those openings, and he is very finely screening out in the so-called Christian community. And he is revealing those wolves in sheep's clothing.
Mm-hmm.
He's revealing who has been fooling the flock for years and years. And that he is doing it with their own words.
Well, that is the thing. In Precursor 2, the redaction is what we've decided upon to call it. Or the redactions. Precursor 2, the redactions. They will see by their own words their character, the spirit behind them.
Yep.
And so by them, by taking two people that we meant for good, and then they changed the rules and they changed their positions and they changed their character, the truth about them by their own mouth
has to be revealed.
Will be revealed, and they hang themselves, basically.
Yep.
By their own words and by their own actions.
And again, going back to the example of journalism, that's the result of good journalism. Good reporting is the words make the case to the readers. The reporter does not need to inject their own interpretation, their own commentary, unlike what they do today, and that's really just entertainment. But a good reporter does not inject him or herself into the story. The story reveals the point of the story.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's nothing lengthy in terms of explanations in the changes that we've made to the video. Chuck Baldwin said to remove it. Immediately we did.
Yep.
We sent him his affirmation saying that we would not use his material.
Yep. We pulled it down that day.
We
pulled
did.
Precursors.
We absolutely
Look,
did.
We paid money to advertise on Facebook precursor. We pulled it off Facebook.
We pulled it off all platforms.
We paid money to Doug for his professional expertise.
Yep.
Okay. So there have been monies that have been spent on our part, which, you know, this is God's work. This is God's mission.
Right.
Not quibbling about that. But the money that we have spent in this production and the time that you and Eddie and JC and Doug put into this, far beyond anything I had to do with it, all of that kind of went right out the window by our taking it down. See, we sort of limit ourselves in our exposure, if you want to look at it in a marketing way. You know, we've cut off our nose to spite our face. But it's necessary that the truth be presented, because not that there's a vendetta here, but it's accuracy in reporting. And we were inaccurate, as it turns out,
by keeping them
in our reporting,
yeah,
in the video of the positions of these two men.
Right.
So, again, good journalism says you pull the video down, you make the corrections so that it is accurately presenting their own words, how they want to be presented, and we put it back in the video, and the video will go out with the change, with the appropriate changes that had to be made.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think when people watch it and they see their own words and they hear their own words and Doug does his voiceover from their written words, it's going to have an even bigger impact than the original video did.
I hope so. I hope so.
Only I think because, that's God's plan.
Yeah. Hope so only in the, and you know, when I say that, it's not vindictive hope so. Hope so in the sense that other people will see what we're seeing.
Right.
They'll see the, you know, the lesson, if you will,
That's
to
the
be
impact.
Learned here.
That's the impact.
And how easy it is to be deceived by those who sound like they're on your side, and then when pressed, you see that they're not.
Yeah.
And their true character comes out.
More appropriately said, on God's side.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not on God's side.
In the end of this video, we are left with the two people who, I don't know if they're Christians or not, one is a committee man and the other is a woman who's a representative that calls this Biden's mark of the beast. Those are the two that we have left to put.
For all
know,
we know, they're secular.
They could be, but
yeah,
they're stating the truth. And
so here's the other irony in this whole thing. We called out some heavy-hitting, not just individuals, I mean, because they, with their own words, saying this is not the mark of the beast, it's the precursor. But at the end of the video, of course, we have all of the written statements from the major denominations of the world, their position statement on the vaccine, whether or not it's the mark of the beast, their own positions. The irony of this whole thing is, who did we hear from? Well, we didn't hear from anybody until you reached out to these two individuals. But you know what? The big organizations?
Yeah.
We never heard a peep out of them. They didn't threaten us with lawsuits.
Well, I wasn't expecting a call from, you know, is it Francis who's the
Yeah, but
pope?
I mean, still,
I,
you see this. You know?
I know.
You go, okay, you got two guys.
Well, they're so,
you know,
enmeshed in the
just,
whole, with the political systems, they're
yeah,
inseparable now. You can't tell really one from the other because they're...
Well, and again, yeah, Rick and Rick Wiles and
Chuck Baldwin,
they're together.
Yeah, they've been together on various things throughout
yeah,
the years.
Yeah. And Trudeau
was covering him when he was running for president on that yeah, constitutionalist
yeah,
platform.
And then we see Chuck on Alex Jones.
Yep, and then being in the documentary with him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I, and that, again, they're allowed to, he's allowed to stay on YouTube and have all of his sermons and presentations up on that movie site that has his name under
IMDb.
It says starring Chuck Baldwin.
That's because it's a documentary and he's in it.
Yeah, I know, but these some of these are just the sermons.
Sure.
I think.
Why would you have your sermons on an internet movie database?
And how does he get them to stay there? Because, you know, normally it's not.
He, like Rick Wiles, has been challenged as being anti-Semitic. I am not calling him anti-Semitic, either of them. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying that they have been publicly challenged in what are considered by people who listen to them to be anti-Semitic statements and positions. Now, whether or not they're anti-Semitic, set that aside. Simply the controversy, simply the appearance of being anti-Semitic is enough to violate the community standards of YouTube. And yet, like you just said, they remain on YouTube. Well, Rick isn't, but Chuck is. Chuck is still on YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Well, the video that I saw was from YouTube August of 2020.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. If things have been taken down recently, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
You know, but here it is. It's a moment of decision for both of them. And I would really hope that at this time that this would cause them to really reevaluate who it is that they are going to serve. If they continue to serve, you know, you and I were talking, we said, we could just imagine Rick Wiles changes his position on a live stream or on a live episode. And then as soon as he's done, he gets a call from one of his largest donors saying, take that down or restate your position. I don't care how you do it, but you are not to say that this is the mark of the beast. You say whatever you have to say, but you retract that. And he did. And it made him look as if he's weak-minded in what he does. He doesn't know his own mind. He's not able to make a steadfast decision. He's going back and forth and back and forth. He went from it is not the mark of the beast, to yes, it is the mark of the beast, to no, it's the mechanics of the system, which is a turnabout.
Right.
So it does not put him or True News in a good light.
So,
and it exposes those who are really at the heart and control of his ministry.
In your listening to these guys, if you've listened to them more than I have, and especially my questions more pertaining to Chuck Baldwin, do they cite the biology? Do they bring up DNA? I haven't heard it. Do they bring up DNA changes in the aspect of the mark of the beast?
I don't listen to Chuck enough to even know. I've not listened. I've only really come to know who this man is in the last couple of months. You know, I mean, I've heard his name, obviously, because he was running at some point. So, I mean, I've known of his name, but I never had any interest or, you know,
to my knowledge. And again, I haven't listened to these guys, you know, every Sunday or every week or every other day when they put things up. And therefore, I'm open to being corrected and people sending me links to videos. But to my knowledge, I have not heard either of them delve into discussing, with respect to the vaccines, the DNA modification. I know that there is, you know, warning about adverse effects and, you know, hasn't been studied, and I've heard that language. But to get down to the heart of the matter, where is the mark of the beast, which is the DNA modification by the vaccines, I have not heard either of those gentlemen, nor has anyone sent to me information indicating that they have discussed the DNA changes, therefore the mark of the beast. And my question then is this: if in fact they have not been discussing the DNA changes specific to the mark of the beast, My question is, with the amount of scientific information, not only regarding, you know, the adverse effects, but there's been enough in the alternative media about the changes to DNA by way of the vaccines, from the secular side as well as from the Christian side, it begs the question, you know that there's this question about the DNA. Why are you not researching it on your own? I'm saying to these two men, why are you not having your staff research it? Why are you then not understanding the science and understanding the ramifications of the science relative to a person's name and the Lamb's Book of Life? That's what I would like to ask them.
I would say this. Doc on Rick Weil's show has gone into detail about the DNA and RNA,
good,
which almost leaves them without excuse, which is good, why Rick changed his position in the first place.
Okay, well, there you go. Now he has said something about
so,
it.
Yes, Doc has done research and mm-hmm. brought that information to light, which is what
good
caused him to do that and change his position. Why he changed it back and said that, oh, we'll have to wait and see if the, you know, the vaccine is, he did a complete turnaround.
Yeah.
And it's mud in their face, yep, basically.
Yep.
I mean, if I was Doc, I would be very ashamed at what he's saying. Like, what are you doing? You're making us look like idiots here.
That's right.
But that's because of the donors.
Yep.
And the people that handle them.
Yeah.
So, and as for Chuck Baldwin, I think I remember the whole thing with Doc, because I think I watched the whole video and then we took that part of it out. But somebody had sent us a link and I do remember him saying something
good
about that. Chuck Baldwin, I haven't watched enough of his material. I do think that in all the many videos that I saw, I did hear him reference DNA. If he ever went into the really deep science of it, I don't know if he did. I've just not listened to him enough to say.
Yeah.
I'm only speaking from this one experience that we've had with him. And that's it.
And now, so, you know, we know their positions. The end of the discussion is we know their positions.
And we do. And the world will see what their positions are.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of their turnabout and their character and the way that they mm-hmm. handled this situation, which is completely unchristlike. And, you know, the Bible talks about you don't take a brother to court. You don't even threaten that.
Yeah.
You know, and that being said, I don't want to be a hypocrite. Because there have been a number of people, and well, not really a lot, maybe three, who have taken our material on YouTube and marketed it as their own.
Mm-hmm.
We did write them, and we did mm-hmm. cite copyright threats against them on YouTube.
Yep.
So we did do that. You know, we cited that this is our copywritten material. You do not have the right to put it on your channel. You did not ask permission. So
we have done that. Again, but you've got to portray it accurately, and you almost did. And that is
okay.
And that is a copyright violation is when you are claiming the material to be your own.
Yeah.
You're using it for your own advancement, your own enrichment, without citing the source.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, they didn't.
You can use the material. You should ask for permission, but you can use the material when it's in a public venue, which these videotapes were in a public venue. It wasn't in a closed session, and we did not use it claiming it to be our own. We were presenting them in their own name, their own material, crediting them with their own material, with their own words, and in an affirmative manner saying,
we applaud you for what you're saying, right?
We're holding you up as a standard.
Yeah, yeah.
So it really begs the question, you said it correctly, the character. It's a character question. It's a question of character. To threaten a brother, sister, Christians immediately, right out the gate, with a lawsuit.
Yeah. without even asking to, and I think we went through the proper channels to try and reach out to them, you know, so.
We did.
Anyway, we've said enough about that.
The big takeaway, again, it needs to be reinforced. The big takeaway is that we all need to be excellent in our discernment. We need to be critical thinkers. We need to think logically, and we need to be active listeners. We need to let our minds stop running and racing and listen to the words and define the words if need be. Because these are very clever people and organizations. And when I say that, I mean there's a bigger organization with both of these gentlemen
behind them. Yeah.
And there's a lot of brain power that sculpts and molds their persona, their presentation, their body English, and probably more importantly, I would say, the words that they choose. You've heard me say this 1,000 times. When we read articles, and I'm doing the Patch 180 and taking things apart, and I say they choose their words for specific reasons.
Mm-hmm.
They could be obviously spiritual words, demonic words, but even average words. You know, when we read something in an article, a news item that says, it's an explosive controversy, and you look at the word and say, well, that's not really the appropriate word to use in the context of this, because you're talking about a bombing, you know, or whatever it is. I mean, it's just absurd words, but they choose the words because this is a psychological operation.
Exactly. And we know that in the end, what they're trying to do is cause the division of everything.
Yep.
You know, God said that this division is of Him.
Yep.
You know, this separating of the wheat and the tares, that's Him. However, Satan thinks he's going to cause it himself. It really has got, it's been allowed to go forth. It's covered, even if it does. Because God said that this would happen, and it's for His purpose of separating. And what is He separating? He's saying, gather first the tares to be burned.
And that is what is happening.
So all the people that are falling for this delusion and taking this vaccine from the very first one, even if you say, oh, I'm not going to take any more, it's too late. You've already taken it into your body. I'm sorry. I hate it for you. I really do. But there is a righteousness and justice that God, He is merciful, but He also has to fulfill His righteousness and His justice. And because we are at the end of, approaching the end of the time that He allotted for mankind, His judgment is here. And so it serves the purpose of weeding out those who have bowed, you know, to this world system and seek to immerse themselves in it. And those who are His children that are going to be gathered and collected and brought into His barn, the tares are going to be burned. And those who have taken this vaccine have in, when we talk about semantics, they have been burned. They are facing eternal sulfur in the lake of fire going forward. That's what Revelation 13 speaks to.
They have the t-shirt that says tear on it. We have the t-shirt that says wheat.
Yeah, well.
If I need to be flippant about it.
I don't know. It still bothers me, and I don't want anybody to go that way, but everybody has. I mean, well, the majority have. And, you know, we need to bolster up the family of God to say, you know, things, tighten your belts. This is going to get even tougher, you know.
I want to go to our scripture for tonight.
Yeah.
I think it's readable beyond that. Okay, let me see if I can shrink it down just in case. There we go. All right, so 2 Corinthians. We normally read our scripture at the beginning, but let's see what we can do here tonight. I have actually two selections that I'd like to present. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 14 to 18. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Now, you know, when I first read this, it was in the context of not marrying someone who was not a Christian believer.
Mm-hmm.
The unequally yoked, right? Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership can righteousness have with wickedness? Or what fellowship does light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? Can you pronounce that for me? Belial.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Or what does a believer in common have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement can exist between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. That's the whole point of the DNA discussion. For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I dwell with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Well, who's Jesus coming back for? His people, right? And they will be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate. There's the wheat and the tares. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. I would apply this to anyone who has been a faithful follower, let's say, of Chuck Baldwin, been a faithful follower of Rick Wiles. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. And, verse 18, I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. You know, this is easy to gloss over in the past. Today, this is absolutely the marching orders. This is the command for the moment right now to come out, to separate out of the churches where the pastors are saying, it's okay to take the vaccine. You need to take the vaccine. It's a gift from God. All of that. Get out of there. We've been talking about get out of the churches. The churches are corrupt. If you find that you are in a church that is corrupt, there might be a few that are not, but if you find yourself, and I think the defining point of whether or not the church you're attending is corrupt or not is the question of the vaccine. If your church is promoting, and specifically your pastor is promoting the vaccine, get out. Verse 17, therefore come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. It's no more clear than that. Okay. I'd like to go to our next verse, Psalm 1. Let me just bring this up so I can read it. Again, extremely relevant to our situation here today. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or set foot on the path of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. Think of the people in the congregations. Think of the people sitting in the pews who are mocking you who refuse to take the vaccine. Get out of there. As John Panette so often said, the late John Panette.
Get out of line.
Get out of line. Get out of the line. Get out of the line. What a nice guy. I'm so sad he passed away. Anyway, I think he suffered most of his life. John Panette. Google him on YouTube, whatever.
He'll make you laugh.
Get out of the line. Get out of those seats.
Mm-hmm.
Stand up just like you would in an opera or a movie. Get up and walk out of the theater. Because that's all it is. Verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. You see, this is where our focus is. Our focus is in the New Testament. We're not focused on the law because of salvation. But we are focused on him day and night. Verse 3, he's like a tree planted by streams of water, yielding its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither, and who prospers in all he does. Know them by their fruits. Look at what they're producing. Look at their statements. Look at the misleading that's going on, the deception that's going on. Look at the result, which is the fruit of the deception of the misleading. It's leading people away from the Lord. It's leading people to vaccines. It's leading people to believing that the vaccine is not the mark of the beast. So it's not a big deal if you end up taking it in order to keep your job. It is a big deal. It is the mark of the beast, not a component of the beast system. That's misleading. That's deception. That's leading people to think that, oh, if I have to take the vaccine, if I'm, quote, forced to because my employer is forcing me, not holding you down, strapping you down to a table, but forcing you with coercion, then that is causing you to take the mark of the beast. And if someone is saying, oh, it's only a component, they're saying it's a precursor. If they're saying it's a precursor, they're making it appear that it's not that big a deal to your salvation, to your soul. It is. And the argument that once saved, always saved, doesn't hold water. Read Revelation for that one. Okay. Verse 4. Not so the wicked, for they are like chaff driven off by the wind. You remember my wheat analogy? You throw the wheat in the air and the chaff is blown away by the wind. Verse 5. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. They're being removed. The sinners are being removed from the assembly of the righteous. Who is going to be standing front and center, recognizing Jesus Christ for himself as the true Messiah when he returns? It will be the assembly of the righteous. Now, every knee will bend to him. Even the sinners will recognize Jesus Christ, but first, they will be deceived by the false Christ, the false Messiah. They will be fooled. We won't be fooled. And finally, verse 6, for the Lord guards the path of the righteous. He guards our path. We are worried about going forward into this tribulation, into this time of the revealing of the Antichrist. We know from Scripture that the spirit of the Antichrist is already at work. Jesus Christ has said so. He said so when he was here on earth in physical form, when he was incarnate. He said the spirit of the Antichrist is already upon the earth. Okay? But as we walk the narrow path in the beast system, he protects us. He guards our pathway. He guards us from taking the mark of the beast because he tells us through proper discernment that this is the mark of the beast. Have nothing to do with it. Flee from it. And flee from those that are coercing you, peer pressuring you, mocking you for not taking it, threatening to take away your children because you're an incompetent parent for not vaccinating them and yourselves. God protects you. He protects the righteous. He guards you. He provides for you. It's in his word. You know, we've been having all this week, including today, absolutely wonderful conversations by phone and by Skype with many of you. But you don't need Kathleen and myself to encourage you, to allay your fears. You know how that's done? Right there. For the Lord guards the path of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. That's just one verse out of the Bible. You could take that one verse and run with that. Be mindful of that when you feel the fear coming upon you, the anxiety coming upon you. For the Lord guards the path of the righteous. He's guarding you. But the way of the wicked will perish. If you wonder if they're going to be successful, if they're going to be able to take over the world, that they're going to have free reign and they're going to enslave you, they're going to kill. But the way of the wicked will perish. You know that from Revelation, the lake of fire, that whole scenario. I was talking to a nice gentleman today on the phone, and I said, you know, for our puny human brains, it is nearly inconceivable, because we are enmeshed in a fallen world, in a fallen state, not us because we're saved, but in the world that is in a fallen state. We cannot conceive of life without the presence of evil. When we exist with the Lord and with our Father, post lake of fire, there is no more evil. That is inconceivable for us. But at least we know that the way of the wicked will perish. We know that it's going to be done away with. We can look forward to that and take tremendous encouragement by that. Even if our physical form goes away, we know our destiny. We know where our soul lies. It lies with the Father and with our Savior. So please, we love the friendship and the fellowship, but don't rely upon us. Don't rely upon any man or woman. Rely upon only the Lord and His Word for your encouragement to destroy the fear. Command the fear in the name of Jesus Christ. Command the fear, because this is coming from Satan. It doesn't come from God. Command Satan to flee. Command his minions. If you have something that you are struggling with, that's a spiritual influence. If it is a negative that you struggle with, that is a spirit or multiple that are working on you. You don't need a human. You don't need a person, a man or a woman, to lead you through, you know, some sort of exorcism, or, you know, saying certain words and the demons will flee from you and they won't bother you anymore. You don't need that. All you need is to go to Jesus Christ one-on-one. He's standing right there next to you, one-on-one, and say, Lord, in your name, I cast out this spirit, this demon, whatever you think is possessing you, whatever you think is controlling you, whatever you think is continuing to move you in bad habits. That's spiritual. You cannot separate the spiritual from the physical. Therefore, go after the spiritual in the name of Jesus Christ. Do it one-on-one. You don't need anybody else to do this with you or for you. I would highly question someone who's trying to lead you through that process. The Word tells us you only need the Lord. I've had a couple of people talk to me this week about possession. This is why I'm bringing it up. People who have been in denominations where they're casting out demons, and the laying on of hands and the hugging of people and claiming that they're imparting the love of God and the Holy Spirit upon them. Don't let someone you don't know touch you.
Amen. Okay? Amen. Yes. That's true. Very true.
Be very, in these times especially, it was valid before, but again, this is a time where it's, again, my analogy of the screen and the little holes. You got to have very, very small little holes in your screen and discern who it is that you're interacting with now, especially when it comes to the vaccinated, because they're changing. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, I would say it's good to pray with people sometimes, because they're affirming you in that prayer. They're coming mm-hmm. alongside
sure,
you. Jesus said, where two or more gather, there I am amongst yep. them. So praying with people, mm-hmm. for people, in a group, that's not bad.
Right.
But yes, right. the laying on of hands is imparting things to people.
Yeah.
And you don't know where those people are coming from. And I didn't learn that until later. I mm-hmm. whenever there was a call for prayer and laying on of hands, I was right there. I mean, we've evolved in our understanding of spiritual things over the
yep.
years.
We're always learning.
You know, and things that we may have believed when we were first, you know, coming into our understanding of Jesus in a new and powerful way, we've evolved, you know, and some things we've left because we realize that they're not what they were meant to be.
That's right.
Because we've inherited lies from our fathers. That's what happens. Yep. And so now the Holy Spirit is trying to bring us through. And I would just say, especially now, err on the side of caution. When in doubt, don't. Really. When in doubt, don't. That's the safest way. We are walking a very, very narrow path. There is no room for error, no room for stumbling. This is for life and your eternal destiny. You cannot take risks with it at this time. You just can't. You have to know your God. Those who know him, he says, will do mighty exploits. And we're going to need to be doing those things pretty soon as the world as we know it shuts down around us. Therefore, the times that we are going to have to access the power of God is what we reference when we say Jesus said he will do even greater things, meaning the times will require you going to God for multiple things in the course of a day.
Yep.
That might need to be addressed. Your food, water, clothing, heat, you know, shelter. These are things that God himself is going to have to provide. And as a child, you're going to go to him. He knows what you need. He knows before we even ask. I'm sorry. So, you know, these are things that you need to prepare your heart and mind for. You're walking into your inheritance and destiny here on earth before we go to heaven. We're going to be walking and partaking in our spiritual nature, which is our destiny and actually who we are.
Right now.
Because everyone, isn't it true? You know, we've said that the majority of people will say that, you know, they sometimes they feel lonely, like they're the only one. But the other thing that everyone is saying is that they are feeling that they are not even a part of this world anymore. And it's not because of the mandates. It's the spirit of this age. It's the spirit of this world. It's the pulling away from the things that don't reflect God, and everything around us does not reflect him. Yes, the beautiful trees are out there. We can see the mountains and a babbling brook, and those things that God created are still beautiful, and we appreciate them and value them because we're looking at this world perishing now. And knowing that we're not going to be a part of it for that much longer. So we savor everything beautiful that he created.
Yes, indeed.
You know, and the world isn't seeing those things. They're speeding right past those bubbling brooks and beautiful mountains. They're not even observing them. They don't even see them anymore.
Even the brooks that babble.
You know what I mean. But we do. It's almost as if, if you were given a diagnosis of cancer and you knew you only had 3 to 6 months to live, you know, you can spend it whining and crying, or you can just savor like a fine meal. You savor every moment of life, and therefore you've lived all your life kind of overlooking things. But now for these last 3 to 6 months, you are going to savor every little thing, whether it be a picture a child draws for you, or the changing of the leaves and a beautiful red leaf floats down and lands in your lap as you're sitting out in your yard.
Okay, Bob.
You know what I mean. You know what I'm saying.
Okay, Bob.
But I'm saying that we're appreciating these things better.
Of course.
And so,
And we've also heard from many people who have said that they enjoy being separated now.
I do.
You know, many people have said, you know, I feel separated from the world, but then in the next breath, I'm enjoying being separated. That, you know, we have the quarantines, but, you know, even now the restrictions because of, you know, passports, etc. They find now that the patch 180 is they get to spend more time in prayer, more time in the Word, more time with their families, more time with each other. And it's a positive. So, you know, Satan doesn't rule the day.
Well, and he's ruling, in a sense, in a greater capacity now, because it's the end times and the culmination. But, yes, the things that we have learned is that God has shown us you don't need the things of this world.
Yep.
What has this told us? That we can live much simpler lives, although you know, you prepare for things as you see these things coming as best you can.
Yep.
But that the things that we once considered priorities that we thought we couldn't live without, we've learned that we can. And that those things really didn't matter. And that, you know what, they were a distraction. They were a distraction. And yes, we don't spend every single moment, you know, walking around with monks in robes and on our knees praying 24/7. I mean, we live life. We get up in the morning, we tell the Lord we love him, we spend time with him, but your conversation with him is going on throughout the whole day.
Exactly.
You know, if I'm in the kitchen, it's like, Lord, I'm going to make something for dinner. I really need your help. I've never
Well,
done
it
this
always
before.
Makes me laugh when you walk out of the kitchen and say, I was just doing the dishes and this is what the Lord told me.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, because it's a constant mindset. Your mind is always focused and there's an expectation there that he will speak to you.
Sure.
That he wants to be involved with you when you're, you know, stuck in the kitchen
so
doing dishes.
Is Jesus mashing the potatoes for you?
No. Don't be. Just being a smart aleck. Don't be a smart aleck.
You said he's in the kitchen.
No, but he's with me wherever I go, and he's always speaking to us in everything that we do, whether it be quiet moments or moments where we're raking leaves or doing just mundane things. He's there with us, and he is speaking so clearly because he's not listening to the voice of the world anymore at this time. This is the time of separation and judgment.
Yeah.
So, and his righteousness has already decreed this. His justice is carrying it out. He hears his children. It's not like he never heard you before, your voice was silent, but he is tuned in now to his children because he's wondering, okay, who's going to come to me now for direction on how to navigate this life now that you know that the beast system is truly here?
Who's relying on me?
Yeah. And who's looking to me for guidance? And he's there. His Holy Spirit is there and he answers you. He answers you and he is able to show you and break through into our everyday existence using the things that are around us that we forget are there or that he just causes to come before us so that he's kind of like putting this in front of you and saying, oh. And you see something and it's a message from him to you, utilizing the things that are in around you.
Couple of notes here before we wrap up. I've had a couple of people in our phone conversations this week, you know, asking about information on the Mark of the Beast with respect to Entangled Magazine. I'd just like to remind everyone that if you look at the April of 2021 edition of Entangled Magazine, I list in the concluding pages of the magazine in April, a Mark of the Beast index. And that lists in our magazine all of the articles going back to 2017, but more specifically in 2020, the majority. We list all of the articles that break down the components, including the actions of DNA and messenger RNA and spike proteins, all of the scientific evidence is listed in the April of 2021 edition. So that's a handy reference, and I've had several people request something like that. But also I want to remind you that in general, the June, July, August, and October of 2020 editions of Entangled are all about the Mark of the Beast. And yes, we're still talking about it tonight. In June of 2020, for example, we talked about the Mark of the Beast with respect to luciferase. And back then we were calling it the vaccine tattoo. And in June of 2020, we were not sure yet because the vaccines, the vaccinations, the inoculations had not begun in June of last year. At that time, we were still talking about whether it would be, for the first inoculations, whether it would be delivered by a hypodermic needle or whether it would be the microneedle array patch. So that was where we were first beginning that discussion of that. Okay. Mark, in the Mark of the Beast in July of last year, we defined the word mark as charagma, and you may remember that from many of our discussions as well as what we presented in the video precursor. We highlighted defining from Strong's Concordance the definition of the mark of the beast, of the word mark as charagma. So if you're looking for some handy references, that's where I would direct you. Again, there's the Mark of the Beast Index in April of last year. So those are really handy for witnessing tools if you want us to be able to just quickly turn to those using as a table of contents, as an index, the April edition, then you can go to the other issues of the magazine. But we have presented a fair amount of evidence, and I'm going to go back to Rick Wiles and Chuck Baldwin. Hey guys, if you want to see the scientific evidence, if you don't want to believe us, you think it's all conjecture and in misinterpretation and, you know, we're splitting hairs, okay, go look at the scientific evidence. Peer-reviewed, published, in the journals that prove it. Prove the mark of the beast, whether it's quantum dots, luciferase, hydrogels, modification of DNA by any of the vaccines. And I want to let you know that Tuesday I'm going to, this is a segue, Tuesday I'm going to do a technical Tuesday, and I'm going to be speaking specifically about a relatively new vaccine. I mean, because it hasn't really been approved in any of the countries yet. It's headed for Australia, but it's Novavax, and I'm going to break that down. I have the patents. I have the scientific literature. I've done a deep dive. I've been defining words. I'm looking at this very carefully. I'm not going to give you a punchline here. I'm just going to say, tune in on Tuesday for the latest on the latest virus, because it's not good news.
Mm. Well, so. And I pray.
Yep.
There's a young woman in our, I say young woman, I don't know her age, but Lynn Marie Rose, I want to say welcome. She is, I think, a nurse, if I read it correctly, at Mayo Clinic, and she's going to be losing her job soon. Of 25 years. And so we want to pray for Lynn and those who are in the medical profession, our Pam, you know, who works very, very hard, and I'm sure others.
Before you begin, I also, my closest and longest standing friend, 35 years, worked with him as a paramedic in Oakland. He is still in California. I won't say where. He's still in California. He's still working for American Medical Response, my former employer. And he just emailed me yesterday and said, as of December 8th, and they're not taking exemptions, by December 8th, every employee of American Medical Response, the largest medical transport company in the world, will begin terminating people who are not vaccinated as of December 8th. And so he is facing losing his job. He did put in a request for a religious exemption. He's a good Christian brother. His family's wonderful. He doesn't think they're going to accept his exemption because they've already said they're not going to. And so he is facing losing his job. They've already put their house, or their house is in escrow. They already put it up for sale in California, and they are going to move out of California. And, you know, I've been encouraging them to do that for a long time, and you know, push has come to shove, and they finally are making that move. But, you know, this is personal for me, too, as well as the friends that we're hearing and the new friends that we're hearing that are facing losing their jobs. So please, yes, let's pray for everyone.
Father, we come to you this evening, and we even pray for Chuck Baldwin and for Rick Wiles. We lift them up to you and pray that greater are you, Lord God, than he who is in this world. And I pray that there is your spirit within them. And I ask that you would have them truly come to a meeting with you in terms of heart and soul and spirit. That if there be those who are influencing and directing the course of their life, that they will be able to break free from that and serve you in spirit and in truth. Because it is a very, very dangerous game to try and serve two masters. And so I come to you right now and ask that your Holy Spirit of truth will visit with them and give them one last opportunity to serve you in spirit and in truth, and not give in to those who may have helped get them where they are today. But they will turn away from that and in one last, if you will, swan song, deny Satan and those who have held them bound to this. Help them to see perhaps that even their choices have brought them to this point, but they can still turn to you while there's time and mm-hmm. serve you.
Yep.
We lift up everyone that we know here, Lord, that is in the medical profession, and that encompasses so much. Whether you be a brain surgeon, or if you work for a hospital, helping as a CNA, you know, doing the not so pleasant jobs, Lord. These people need you. They need for you to make a way for them. They may not be able to see how they're going to get from week to week or day to day. We are leaving Egypt, and we ask you to go before us, to provide for us, so that no one here who is your child will go without housing or food or water or shoes or clothing. All of their needs will be met and exceeded in you. We pray that you would allow us to hide under the shelter of your wings from the evil that is encompassing this world, that we can come into your courts and be protected. We want to be here, should you choose, so that when Jesus returns, he does find faith on the earth, and it encourages him. But Lord, we need you. We need to know who we are in you. We need to be equipped with the power that Jesus said that would be at our disposal when the times we live in require greater acts of your omniscience and miraculous power to produce things that just aren't there. And so we come to you right now and ask that you would teach us about this power, that we might use it wisely and not be foolish with it. Not be showboaters, if you will, not be circus people. You wouldn't put that kind of power in the hands of people who would treat it that way.
No.
So we come to you right now, and we ask for everyone here that you are touching them in such a powerful way with encouragement and peace that surpasses all understanding and guards our hearts and minds through your Son, Christ Jesus. We thank you for these people that have lifted us up when we were down, who prayed for us when we were sick, who provided for us when everything went away. I thank you, and I want them to know that I thank them, too. Lord, we don't consider ourselves shepherds. I said that to one of the subscribers today. They were thanking us for shepherding, and I almost, you know, it kind of shook me, because I don't consider myself, or we don't consider ourselves like that. We are being shepherded by you. We are simply coming alongside them with the knowledge that we study and research, and the revelations that come just through prayer and time spent with you and seeking you and always being in that state of expectation to hear from you. And so I'm glad we're together during these times, and I pray that if need be, you will supernaturally sustain the platforms, even if they're worldly platforms, Lord, you know, and they're utilizing the beast system to stay afloat. I pray that you would let us use it for the needs that we have, and that you would supernaturally sustain us. I lift up precursor to you, Lord, that it will reach those who are still there that need to that are going to make a decision. I pray for those who may even have appointments this week to go and get this vaccine, that your Holy Spirit will stop them and speak to them in such even a supernatural way, Lord. Let them have a vision, a dream. Let them have a total stranger stand in front of their car and say, God said no, something. Nothing is out of your power to do. But Lord, please, please hear the cry for our loved ones. Some of us have lost everyone. Some of us are just, those who mean the most to us, they're gone. And I just come to you right now and I ask for comfort. I ask for peace. We understand the gravity of what's at stake. And it hurts. Because we know. And I ask right now for you to be with each and every one of these dear friends of ours as they go forth into this week. Some will be facing tomorrow even the notice that they don't have a job. They will handle it brilliantly. They will handle it with peace and courage and the knowledge that, you know what? I'm no longer in this world system. And they have almost a childlike expectation that, dare I even get excited that I've just been fired? And the expectation is because now our total reliance is on you to provide and to see those miracles come forth. I pray that you will cause this system to start paying these people when they leave. That there will be a payment extracted from them for what they are doing so that they have the money that they need. Lord, you can do anything. I pray that not one person, not one of your children loses their home or their apartment or their vehicle, that they will be able to stay home and provide for their children. And in some ways, these days will be better than anything. And so, Lord, we love you. We thank you for those who have followed your advice and had surgeries and are recuperating. We pray for Randy and his hip. He's still trying to heal from that. I lift up to you the woman that I spoke to tonight on the phone who had knee surgery and fell, that she will not experience pain. She seems to think that she's okay with it and nothing has swollen, but we pray that that heals well. I pray for my stepfather, Ron, that his knee will heal from surgery. We just lift up all of those, Lord, who have suffered and even come down with this COVID-19, that you would restore strength and their sense of taste and smell. And Lord, we just pray for all of your children that are here, that your protection, your provision, your blessing and favor, and would just be about them. And so, Lord, I know that they say with me in praise of who you are, to you alone, O Lord, our God and King. Lord Jesus, we love you. To you belongs all dominion and honor and power and glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. God bless you all. Good night.
Good night.